Okay, welcome everybody, TCD Board of Supervisors, monthly meeting, Tuesday, June 26th, is now 2:09 PM. Welcome everyone, thank you for coming. Let's do introductions, we'll start here at front table to my left.
Richard Mankamar, TCD Board Auditor.
Gordon Powell, TCD Board.
Eric Johnson, TCD Chair.
Paul Pickett, TCD Board.
Sarah Moorhead, TCD Staff.
Heather Ross Kelly, TCD Staff.
Oh, Vicki Larkin, Thurston County Commissioner's Office.
Welcome, Vicki.
Thank you.
Ben Peterson, the Washington Federation of City Employees.
Adam Bishop, Thurston Citizen.
TJ.
TJ Johnson, Citizen and Farmer.
Martin McCallum, Thurston Citizen and a Stream Team Volunteer.
Thank you, Martin.
Esther Kronberg, Citizen.
Hello, Esther.
Joanna, Citizen, Thurston Ag Advisory Committee.
Allison Halpern, Conservation Commission.
Shauna Joy, former Puget Sound Regional Manager of the State Conservation Commission.
Okay, for those, thank you everybody. And we have a sign up sheet going around. Please make sure that you sign up on it so if we need to, we can do corrections and et cetera. For those of you who would like to participate in the Pledge of Allegiance, please stand and Richard, can you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Yeah, and thank you, Linda. Also, we are recording this meeting for those of you. So everybody knows we are audio recording it, and looks like we have for public comment 3 minutes apiece. This is what we've done. Let me pull my timepiece up here, and TJ Johnson, take your first, and let's. You have 3 minutes, and I'll wave at you when you have 15 seconds. How's that?
That's good. I don't think I'll take 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, TJ Johnson, citizen of Thurston County and full-time farmer. I could comment on substance of what's happening before you, but I'm here to talk about process today. And let me just say that as a former elected official and an active citizen, I've gone to a lot of public meetings over the last 20 years, and hands down, these are the worst-run public meetings I've ever encountered. Frankly, it's embarrassing and offensive to see how poorly run these meetings are, to the citizens who come out to try to participate, to your staff that have to sit through these meetings. It's sort of unbelievable. The length of these meetings is incredible. My discussions with staff at the State Conservation Commission, the feedback I get is that it's pretty typical to have a couple hour meetings a month. You guys are going 4 hours, 5 hours. How do you really expect the public to stay engaged and participate in the middle of the afternoon for a 3 or 4 or 5 hour meeting? It's an unrealistic expectation. Lack of preparation. I see y'all come to these meetings not having done your homework. A great example of that was last week at your subcommittee meeting. First off, Linda and Richard showed up late to the meeting. Those of us in the public sitting here, waiting here, we were on time. Y'all showed up late. And then Richard, in particular, was not sufficiently prepared to take actions that should have happened at that meeting. So as a result, a lot of things that could have been decided and done last week at that meeting that were on that agenda got punted to today, which makes today's meeting even longer. Again, a disservice to the public, a disservice to the district, a disservice to the staff. Okay? Lack of priority. That meeting last week, the discussion went back and forth between, do we hire HR, do we hire legal? The real question before you is, how much money do you have? What is the budget? And periodically you sort of acknowledged that and then you went back into talking about the details deep in the weeds about HR consultants and legal consultants. Makes no sense if you don't have the money to have those discussions, okay? So the priorities ought to be, how much money do we have? How much money can we get through reimposing a funding mechanism that y'all lost because you were asleep at the switch last year. Okay? Your priorities ought to be on funding. Your priorities ought to be on responding to the State Conservation Commission's suggestion for getting this district back on track. Your priorities ought to be working on the actions identified in your existing strategic plan. Okay? So a few suggestions in closing. Number one, use Robert's Rules of Order, like every other public agency does, to run these meetings. And if you don't know how to do that, then get yourself some training. There's a lot of people that can provide training for free on Robert's Rules. And it would help these meetings run more efficiently, and it would help the public be able to follow and participate more efficiently. Your agendas. Organize your agendas so that you stack the most important issues on the front end. Assuming you're going to continue to have 3-, 4-, and 5-hour meetings, put the important stuff first so the public can participate. Focus on what matters.
Yeah. Thank you, TJ. Okay. Mr. Hanna.
So last month I said I was going to blast you this month. I'm not going to necessarily do that because I think some of the things TJ said are very appropriate. First off is some priorities. I think you need to, as TJ said, look at the money. Hopefully staff will participate in that process with the board and provide you accurate numbers. The second thing is this small discussion that was held last month about insurance. As I said last month, if you don't have insurance, you can't afford to be open, period. I'll say it again, if you don't have insurance or sufficient insurance to cover this district, you can't be open. You can't have the doors open to this district. I don't even see that that's on the agenda today. How is that? September is not far away. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Hanna. Agenda review. And one of the February's meetings, we were going to have supervisors report, and that didn't make it and on here. So after
supervisor report, I put at the end.
Yeah, supervisor's report, we agreed to put after partner reports. So I want to do D, supervisor report. And then recruitment plan for EDs. Anybody want to discuss that?
I think we have enough already.
Okay. Good.
Plus, Doug was the lead for that, and he's not here.
Okay. Quarterly payroll and staff reports, I want to discuss that. Let's put that in the financial reports. So, quarterly payroll and staff. Do you want to do board officer elections or wait for Doug to?
Doug requested to be part of that, so I'd like to have that.
So let's strike that.
Postpone for a month.
Push that on. Anything else?
I would like to move my executive session statement to the beginning. It's, I think, fairly important, and I'd like it to be on the table before we do other work.
I'd rather leave it where it is, so I guess if you want to do a motion and get a second to move it up, otherwise I'll leave it where it is.
I think it would be, if you need me to make a motion, I can make a motion to move the executive session statement to immediately following the agenda review. Would like more of a consensus approach. I think it's fair to our public and fair to yourselves to hear what I have to say and to hear it earlier rather than later.
You didn't call me, Paul, and tell me what was up with that, so I put it where I deemed appropriate, so I'm going to leave it there. And is that a motion then?
Yes, it's a motion to move it.
You have a second over here? Okay, we'll leave where it's at.
Okay.
Okay, so.
I also know protocol for supervisors' requests is related to the TCD governance action plan, so you might put those together.
Okay, we can do that. So move 15.
Just move it up one.
Move a 15, turn 15 into 13A.
Sure.
Or B, I'm sorry.
So call it 13B if you want.
13B, sorry. Okay, anything else? Yes, sir.
I would like to table under item 11, items B and C to the July meeting.
11B?
Yeah, 11B and C. Those items aren't ready yet for discussion at this meeting.
It's on the back. Okay, so I'll read it. Conservation Project, Sarah Moorhead, YRO 13 lead entity is A. B is VSP Technical Support, MOU. So she wants to strike B. And then C is CRAP assignment of payment forms. Okay,
yeah.
Looks like you have an agreement on that.
Table those, and then I would love to add to that section Washington State Conservation Commission addendum for the Chehalis Outreach Grant. It's a renewal of our Chehalis Outreach Grant work that just needs approval so that we can get reimbursement for.
Chehalis Outreach Grant. That's how you want it to be read, stated?
Yeah, it's the WSCC Chehalis Outreach Grant Addendum.
The WSCC Chehalis Outreach Grant Addendum. And then what do you want that categories as, since you took B and C off D?
Under that section would be great.
Okay, so I'm going to label it as D. 11D, yeah. Okay, I guess that's about all I got. Anything else?
I'm going to add in discussion of potential OPMA violations.
Okay, so where do you want that? Do you want that under 9 or?
Either 9.
Which do you prefer? Okay, so he has a 9, so we'll do it under 9. Okay. Potential OPMA violations. Okay. Anything else?
Which are you putting, where are you putting that?
9
before or after the after the executive session?
Yeah.
B.
So yours. Executive session statement would be A, and then potential PMA violations would be B.
Okay.
Okay. Linda, do you have anything?
Nope.
Okay. Anything else? Nope. Okay. So let's go to HR Legal Subcommittee Report, and we have Sarah as the lead.
Yeah, so in your packet provided was a memo noting that the notes based on the subcommittee work would be provided. Those were sitting on your table in front of you. You'll notice Tuesday, June 19th, subcommittee notes here. And please, other participants in the subcommittee, please feel free to add as I share what happened at that meeting. There was a lot of discussion and review over the employment attorney firms and HR consultant firms that I provided, as well as a discussion on budget and what may be allowable looking at the budget, mid-year budget report at this meeting. Consensus was to move forward pursuing a consultation with an employment attorney first. To sort of get a baseline about a variety of, you know, the key items that the district is looking to resolve. And then that would help to frame a path forward for additional direction, whether that be HR consultant route or otherwise.
What about hiring an attorney with a certification for SHRM?
So this was just what was discussed at this meeting.
Okay.
So there wasn't a discussion about an attorney with a specific certification other than attorneys with employment law specialty. I provided two at that meeting. I was asked to provide additional attorneys and contact information. I have that prepared for this meeting. I did find two in our local area that do provide free consultations, if that's a discussion that the board would like to have, and can provide that as well. There was certainly interest in that. Based on the discussion that we had at this subcommittee, I did reach back out to Pierce Conservation District, as was recommended by Shauna at the prior meeting. And they do have an interest and potential capacity to provide some HR support after any legal issues are resolved. So I think that might be a great option to also pursue. Anything else that the subcommittee would like to bring forth?
Well, I think we go back to that question, is do we have the money to do any of this?
Right. Do we have the money to do any of it? We had some overhead built in on, I mean, that's kind of a budget discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you would like, you know, to get into the budget discussion, I think that there's a lot of things to note about that, and that might be a little bit more robust, but we can certainly do that now if you'd like. I know that there was also a goal put forth for this meeting to discuss the legal services RFP draft that was provided and potentially finalize that at this meeting. I'm not sure if the board would like to pursue that right now or not. I know Richard had a separate version of the RFP. I didn't receive anything on that. I don't know if you provided, if you have that.
I have an updated version. I thought I sent it to you also. I sent it to the board.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, I didn't receive a copy, but I'm happy to make copies.
Yeah, so we can give her to make copies for that. Yeah, I'd like to get the HR legal services going and the legal RFP out.
So perhaps a suggestion is that we have our budget discussion. So that
have the budget discussion and then come back to this? Is that what
yeah.
you're recommending?
I mean, I think that would be important.
I don't think we should make any decisions till after we talk about the budget. One thought, I mean, looking this over, the subcommittee came out with a recommendation to make the RFP a first priority, and maybe something we could discuss now without making any decisions is the, when I looked at the RFP and I thought it, you know, as far as I know, it looks pretty good. I'm not an attorney. The RFP is a request for information. It doesn't commit us to anything. It actually asks for them to say what they think it would cost. So in a way, I think if it's a critical strategic need, I don't see what would stop us from doing the RFP, beginning the process, while at the same time recognizing in the end we're going to have to get the budget and the bids we get to line up. So you actually have a detailed process in the RFP that involves screening and review and interviews, which is going to take time. So I just wanted to kind of put that idea on the table for discussion, that we could proceed with the legal RFP as a critical priority with the understanding that ultimately we will depend on finding the money to actually contract with someone. So we're not committing ourselves to spending it, but at least we're collecting information to know what it would cost us.
So we're kind of jumping over the top of the HR and going right to RFP. I don't have any problem with
I mean that
approving that.
The two were together, and I thought they were we're talking about the outcome of the special meeting, which prioritized HR. I mean, prioritized legal, so that's why I brought it up.
I think you're appropriate. So, any more discussion there, guys? I mean, I'd say go ahead and...
Is it appropriate to take action now?
I think so. I mean, we need to get it out. It's only been forever, so... So, you want to do a motion to...
I would move to use the RFP, I guess the version that Richard just handed out. I don't know if there's any differences.
There has been some changes made.
We can discuss the changes maybe, but for now, I'll just move that we proceed with releasing this RFP and soliciting proposals with the understanding that we still have to determine budgets before decisions are made.
Sure.
I thought we were going to discuss the changes.
Well, we can discuss it as part of discussing the motion if somebody wants to second it.
Yeah, somebody wants to second it.
I second it.
Okay, we got a first and a second, so let's discuss what changes were made. Richard, you want to off your head?
Oh, minor things like the first line, for the supervisors, and we added in Eric Johnson, chair for the supervisors, in addition to the acting executive director.
Okay.
And, you know, put in there about negotiating union contracts, stuff like that, added in some of the most current things.
Where's that?
What, say it again louder?
The
or?
Union contracts, and put in about negotiating someone who wouldn't understand negotiating union contracts.
Okay.
Okay.
In the appropriate place.
Okay.
I see it on page 2, third paragraph, and page 3, under scope of services, description A. Mentioned as well.
I mean, it sounds fine. I just wanted to look at where it's. Looking, where did you say? I'm sorry again.
Page 2, the third paragraph down, last sentence.
Union contracts.
There it is. Okay.
And then on page 3, scope of services, description A. Mentions unions.
There's
contracts.
Union contracts. Yeah, okay. That's good.
Anything else substantive?
Basically the same, just a little fine tuning.
I can see some changes made under 2, typical duties, not exhaustive, on the third page.
Third page?
Yeah, item F. Yeah. Which is represent. It was changed to represent TCD Board of Supervisors in litigation as requested from representing the district as an entity. I don't know if that should be clarified.
The Board of Supervisors is the district.
Right, I'm just not sure why it's being called out separately rather than.
Can we just put the word and, represent TCD and its Board of Supervisors? Because sometimes they're representing the whole organization.
Okay with that, Richard?
What's that again?
I asked Richard if that sounded appropriate.
Well, I mean, you can sit here and we can nitpick this all day, mm-hmm. or we can send it out, and any legal firm or person that you're going to contact with will probably have some suggestions for their particular way of doing things, so that at that point in time, then we could fine-tune it.
Yeah, and this is not a contract. This is
just a request for proposal.
No, I mean, I do think it's important that the legal counsel reports to us, because we're responsible for all the policies and procedures of this organization.
Well, let's just leave it and get it out, because it's not a contract. It's just a request for services. Mm-hmm. Sound good? Any other comments? I got no one on that. No one. Just let you talk. You're okay?
I have no more comments.
So. Okay. Okay, so. All in favor of approving Thurston Conservation District for request for proposal legal services? Yes, Sarah?
I was just wondering if you. just a suggestion, wanted to get any feedback from Enduris on the way this reads currently before submitting or not.
I don't want to hold it up, and it's not a contract, so it's just a proposal. So what does the board think?
It's just a request for proposals.
It's a request for proposals. Attorneys will respond and say, I'd be interested if you took this out, or it should say this also.
Sure.
I mean, I think it's a good idea to give them a courtesy copy and invite their comments on the process, because that might be, like I said, this isn't committing us to anything.
Right.
Once we start talking to people, if they have clarifications they'd like to see made, we can make sure that's included in our review of proposals.
Okay. So it sounds like we're okay. So
think they'll be happy with that?
All in favor of approving Thurston Conservation District request for proposals for legal services, general unemployment law, signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. Aye, too. So unanimous. So we got that done. That's on our list, too, I think, isn't it? Okay, so HR legal services, do we need to tie that in with the budget in some way, shape, or form? So can we, where's our budget discussion?
Well, we have a mid-year budget revision number 10, so I think we could return to funding for these positions when we talk about
so
that.
So can we, so let's talk about that HR legal services in the mid-year budget revision. Is that what you want to do? Because they're, how do we fund the HR has something to do with the budget. So
yes.
You guys okay with
things appropriate?
So
move in some discussion. So I'm gonna write A and then B. We're gonna put 10B under for my whatever.
HR
legal services. HR. Okay, so moving on, we're then Jeff Swotek, absent, and Miss Shauna Joy.
I'm up.
You're up.
Cool. So I've got a couple of things to share with you guys tonight. I'll get my notes here so I don't forget anything. So first, you probably remember that we have a commission meeting coming up in July. That's the 18th, 19th in Shelton. The 18th, the first day, is a half-day district tour. So that's hosted by Mason CD, followed by an interactive dinner. Those are open to the public and everyone's encouraged to attend. So there's information and RSVP link on our website. The second day is the actual business meeting. And so that will be held, I believe, at Little Creek Casino, because that was the location that had a meeting room big enough for us.
That's the 19th?
Yes, the Thursday. The thing that probably most of you are wondering about is what is going on with the investigation. I don't have a final report to share with you today, but we did post an update on our website. So I'm going to go ahead and just pass those out. I just did a printout of what that was.
Thank you.
Basically, we've concluded our investigation portion where, and we'll go ahead and pass these around too if you guys are interested. We've concluded the portion of the investigation where we've interviewed people and collected information, and now we're drafting the final report. So that's where staff is at. There's contact information on that handout going around for Ron Schultz if anyone has questions about where we're at with that. So I'm hopeful that we'll have a final report out soon, but I can't make any promises on a release date. Allison and I spoke to the staff person working on that this morning, and he didn't have an estimate for us. So that's probably the best up-to-date update on that I've got for you. A couple of other things going on with all districts is we provide what's called livestock technical assistance funding to conservation districts that apply for it. We're changing the way we do that a little bit for this next upcoming fiscal year. I love coffee. Can I just say that? Because that thing is nutso. My coffee pot does the same thing.
We're changing up the way we do that for the next fiscal year. So we're going to be asking some more questions of each district that applies for funding, for more specifically, what do you plan to do with it? I've gone over those questions, I think, with Sarah. You should have received that questionnaire. So just a heads up to you guys that we're collecting a little more information so that we can track a little better what we're accomplishing with that funding. Some of you got the notice that Thurston CD is on the schedule to be audited this year by the state auditor's office. So every district in the state is required to be audited every 3 years. So this just happened to be the year that Thurston CD came up on the cycle. So the last 3 financial years will be audited, and the state auditor's office will contact Sarah to start scheduling that on-site time when they'll come and start looking at records. So that will be happening. That is a reimbursable expense under your implementation grant at the commission. So you can get reimbursed for those costs. You just have to figure that into that grant. Finally, I've been reporting out to all of you under our Conservation Accountability and Performance Program, standard number 1, how Thurston CD is doing on those must-do legal elements of operating as a district. And so I have another update for you this board meeting, as I've been tracking how things are going. You guys still have 4 different elements here that are not in compliance as far as I see it. So I've got some notes on the back of this sheet too that kind of explains where I'm coming from with those. I'm not going to go into them in detail. I've got a couple extras. I got to keep one to refer to here. So I think you're going to talk a little bit more at this meeting about adherence to the Open Public Meetings Act. That's item number 8. Item number 9, State Public Records Act. There is still an outstanding public records request from a Mr. Denniston that has not been resolved, at least to my knowledge. Number 12, keeping the public informed of conservation district activities. You've still got a boatload of board meeting minutes to approve in a public meeting and then sign and then post on your website so that the public can get up to date on what's been going on with Thurston CD. And the last one is item number 15, which is basically adherence to labor and employment laws. And I don't feel like I can in good conscience mark that green with 2 outstanding unresolved complaints filed to the Human Rights Commission. So this document will be part of a larger report that's provided to our commissioners at their July commission meeting. We report out on the status of all 45 conservation districts with respect to this standard number 1. Now this is important, and it's a little bit new, because this is the first time that we'll be reporting districts in the red, or a district in the red, at that commission meeting. And they could choose to withhold funding. They could choose to make you come before the commission and explain yourselves. These are just things I've seen in the past. But they're going to get this report. So anything that you can do to resolve these items in the red, I really recommend you do that. It's not my authority to choose what happens with this. This just goes to the commission, and they make the decision.
If we feel we've knocked a couple of these off, then just report back to you in the interim from now till the next meeting and
provide me information and evidence that these should not be read.
Okay.
I invite you to do that.
Okay.
And last but not least, this may be the last time that I provide you a partner report. I know, you're all going to get to look at a better looking face. So Allison, if you want to come up, this is Allison Halpern. She's the new Puget Sound Regional Manager at the commission, and the reason I stand here is so I'm clear on the recording, by the way. Why don't you just take a minute and introduce yourself and tell them about yourself.
Sure. Thank you, Shauna. For the record, my name is Allison Halpern. I am the new Shauna, the Puget Sound Regional Manager for the Washington State Conservation Commission. I come to the commission after 13 years with the Washington State Noxious Weed Control Board. So invasive species, especially plants, are unfortunately near and dear to my heart. Before I moved to Washington State, I was finishing my PhD in ecology, studying invasive plants of all things, at the State University of New York College of Environmental Science and Forestry in very cold but lovely Syracuse in upstate New York. I have a lot to learn, so please be patient with me while I learn the ropes. I'm grateful for Shauna for mentoring me and taking me by the hand and showing me what my role is going to be, and I'm very excited to be working with all of you.
Welcome.
And so that's our commission update, unless anyone has any other questions.
I just wanted to reiterate, Shauna, you said if there are items that we feel we have covered that are marked red, to provide that information to you before July 18th and 19th, which is the commission meeting. They have the potential to take action based on this report at that meeting. Is that correct?
They may. And frankly, I wish I had a prediction about what they would do. But the CAP program, this is the first full year run of this new updated program. So I don't have a historical reference to say what the commission has chosen to do in the past. So if you do have data or information that would, you know, cause me to mark some of these things green, just provide them to me as soon as possible. If the report goes to the commission and somehow in the interim you provide information, I'll be at that commission meeting so I can verbally correct anything that might need to be corrected. So just as soon as possible.
Just curious, do you have any sense of how late minutes need to be before they are? I mean, obviously, I know what we have to do to catch up, but just in general, I mean, it's often, I'd say it's not uncommon to, I mean, usually the minutes come up in the next meeting, but it's not uncommon to wait one more month. So does that seem reasonable? I mean, if
you had,
if it's like 2 months,
months outstanding, for example, there are quite a few conservation districts in eastern Washington that take a month or two off of meetings in the summer because of farming, they're harvesting or whatever. And they'll have a couple of months so that they don't get addressed for a while. I don't think that's unreasonable. But to have the number and length of minutes that you have out right now is not reasonable to keep the public informed.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions for Shauna? Thank you, Shauna. You're
Thank you.
Guest.
Thank you, Shauna.
Okay. Mr. Rushton provided a bunch of information in your packet. Anything we need to know, Mr. Rushton said? Sarah?
I think that he sent out some comments verbally about the meeting agenda items that you all received electronically, and then requested specifically that these particular items be included in the board packet.
Okay.
I would say I appreciate it. I thought there was some really interesting information. I was kind of poking around looking at the links and such, and the slides are quite interesting too. The story of Clackamas CD. So yeah, I appreciate that information.
Excellent presentation.
Okay.
This was really neat. I really put that up on the wall. Yeah, it shows all the relationships.
Yeah,
after it's not drafted anymore.
Okay. Supervisor reports. Richard, do you want to report on that invitation to
Eric and I attend a lot of different meetings. We attend the Sentinel Landscape meeting. Been invited to U.S. Fish and Wildlife, many meetings at their locations. I'm on one of their subcommittees for the easements. And at one of those meetings, U.S. Fish and Wildlife invited Eric and I to attend a meeting this summer in Boise, Idaho, called Partners for Conservation. And we're deciding now if we can swing it and how we can go there. But it sounds like a very interesting thing where landowners from the West meet to discuss how they're handling conservation easements and conservation in their particular geographic location. And we think it's quite an honor if we've been invited by U.S. Fish and Wildlife to go there. So we're working with them diligently to make the problems with the endangered species that we're dealing with here in Thurston County more easily to handle those particular endangered species. And when we first started talking with them, it was a little bit of a tough row to hoe with some of these people. And through our different meetings and subcommittee meetings and other people from the state and the county meeting, we are working with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife to make the process of our building permits and the other permits in our county much easier. And they have been a lot easier to work with over the last several months. So we're very encouraged by the meetings we've been attending. And we hope that this meeting we go to with the Partners for Conservation will again enhance our relationship with these people so we can all work together for the endangered species and environment in our area.
And that meeting they've invited us to, Sarah, conflicts with the August 28th board meeting. So if we could put out a Google poll for us to see if we could possibly move that meeting, that would be helpful.
Eric wanted me to read this. This was a letter or a comment he's making to Paul Pickett and Doug Rushen, who have asked to make statements concerning our use of executive sessions, specifically to evaluate employee performance. He said, while I welcome their contributions to improving district operations, I do want to make the following clear.
That's up to us.
Point of order, I mean, it seems premature to provide this statement before commenting on the statement that I haven't even made yet. Could we return to this when that's appropriate on the agenda? Otherwise, I'd be happy to make my statement now, part of my supervisor report.
We can do that. He's got the floor now. Let's go ahead and have him finish, and then you can go ahead and do that. Go ahead, Richard.
Okay, first, closed-door executive sessions are legal to evaluate employees' qualifications or performance. According to RCW 42.30.110(1)-G. For example, delivering the conclusion of a sexual harassment complaint does not amount to disciplining an employee. It is an evaluation of a complaint which warrants an executive session pursuant to RCW 42-30110, Arthur versus Whitman. 2014 U.S. District, Lexus 188280, 2014. The governing body's closed session review of the performance of an employee may result in some action, either beneficial or adverse to the employee. That action, whether raising a salary or disciplining an employee, must be made in open session per RCW 42.30.110, subtext 2. Second, closed-door executive sessions are legal to discuss litigation that may be commenced by or against the agency, the governing body, or a member. Here, the interim executive director and another former employee have filed complaints with the State Human Rights Commission against the board and members, RCW 42.30.1110(1)(i). Third, RCW 42.30.110(if) provides that executive sessions are the appropriate forum to discuss complaints or charges brought against a public officer or employee. A complaint or charge could come from within the agency or from the public. Bringing a complaint or charge triggers the opportunity of the officer or employee to request a public meeting or hearing on a respective complaint or charge. But, according to the Open Public Meeting Act desk book, it is unclear whether when an officer or employee requests a public meeting or hearing under this provision, the governing body may also discuss a complaint or charge in executive session. In other words, an employee can request a public meeting or hearing, but that does not preclude the agency from discussing the charges in executive session.
This makes sense given the charge would involve complaints from other agency staff and whistleblowers who fear intimidation by the employee and his or her allies. RCW 42.30.110 subtext 2 states that before convening an executive session, the presiding officer of a governing body shall publicly announce a purpose for excluding the public from the meeting place and the time when the executive session will be concluded. The executive session may be extended to a later time by announcement of the presiding officer. Any final action must be taken at the public meeting. Final action is defined as a collective position or negative position, a collective positive or negative position, or an actual vote by a majority of the members of a governing body when sitting as a body or entity upon a motion, proposal, resolution, order, or ordinance. According to RCW 42.30.020 from text 3. In any case, I want to thank Paul and Doug for expressing their concerns and suggest we have training on the Public Meetings and Public Records Act. Perhaps someone from the Attorney General's office could do that. I understand they have adopted model rules and guidelines to assist agencies with requests, in addition to an open government resource manual and training videos. I therefore move we make this happen. Thank you.
Okay. So what do you think? Can we bring in the Attorney General's office and see if they can give us some guidance on for Open Public Meetings Act, or the board thing?
Sure.
It's a good idea. Here's the board opinions by the Attorney General.
What do you want these to go to, everybody?
Yeah, the board.
Mr. Chair?
Yes,
correct. Just a point of order, I think there's a motion on the floor.
Was that a motion? You said move.
I move, we make this happen.
Was that intended as a motion?
No, that's not a motion. It's a suggestion.
It's not a formal motion.
Got
it. I have a question.
Okay.
Richard, did you consult with counsel to write this?
Did I?
Yeah, did you consult with, did you have the advice of an attorney when you wrote this?
I read this for you.
Yeah.
You did. You had
this? I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you helped write it too?
No, that's mine. Richard read it for me.
Oh, you wrote this?
I didn't write it, my attorney wrote it.
Your attorney wrote it?
Yeah.
And Richard is reading it for you?
Correct.
Okay.
That's what he stated.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so action items. Ask for Open Public Meeting Act guidance from AG's office.
Training.
Attorney General. AG's office, right?
Yep.
Okay, Paul.
Okay.
Do you have anything?
Mm-hmm. No.
Nothing. It went to anything there.
Nope.
Okay. Mine's a regular schedule. Let's see what Paul's got.
Yeah. Most of my time this month, I'd say, is I'm doing the new supervisor training. I got orientation with Shonda this morning, and so that's kind of been ticking up my time so far. I'd like to read a short statement here that's kind of a preamble to my other statement. So if this is a copy for you, copies for everyone else. They're sticking together, I think. I got more if you want. So this is my first statement. Several email exchanges that involve me are mentioned in a statement I'm going to make shortly about executive sessions. I'm providing for the record a copy of the entire email thread and attachments. The first set of exchanges began on May 31st when Supervisor Richard Mankmeyer sent an email to Acting Executive Director Moorhead and copied me and presumably the other supervisors by blind CC. I responded by email on June 24th offering feedback. I'm not going into the details here, but I provided feedback, noted that I had asked for time at the next board meeting to discuss the matter. Supervisor Mankemeyer responded to this email by stating, quote, you just held an illegal TCD Board of Supervisor meeting. that's a quote, suggesting that it might constitute a violation of the Open Meetings Act, in my view. He continued, quote, "You are welcome to seek legal advice if you think this is an error," end quote. "I believe that my email is not a violation because it was informational only and that I specifically suggested that the board discuss the matter in open session. Nevertheless, I understand that one might construe it as soliciting a policy discussion prior to full public discussion, which might be a violation. In any case, as I stated at the outset, I now put the entire email string in the record to cure any real or perceived violation." The second incident occurred on June 4th when Supervisor Mankemeyer sent a draft letter of direction to Supervisor Eric Johnson with a blind CC to me. I presume other board members received the blind CC. I responded with an email on June 4th, CC'd the entire board, where I stated, quote, "I'll try to send a draft for your consideration before the next meeting, or at least I'll share my ideas then," a draft set of expectations, as I mentioned earlier in this meeting. I then sent a, well, I mentioned in the workshop, sorry. I then sent a draft document regarding expectations for the acting executive director position to the board on June 6th. In that email, I stated, "Attached are some ideas for our discussion tomorrow." Supervisor Mankemeyer again responded with the exact same wording as in the previous message, accusing me of holding a legal meeting and suggesting I seek legal counsel. Again, my email was informational, intended for a board discussion in an open meeting, but to provide transparency for my communications and cure any real or perceived violation, I am providing this email thread in my draft document for the record. I reviewed the rules regarding communication by email outside the public meetings and completed by the training for new supervisors. I will ensure that any email communication will be marked clearly for information only in the future and avoid any discussion of issues by email outside of a public meeting. Signed, Paul, good supervisor.
Thank you for the clarification, Paul. I'd like to add in there that through the years that I've been here, Shauna has always reminded us not to directly email any other board members. And she said it may violate the Open Public Meetings Act. So this has been my understanding since being here since day one.
You can BCC him.
Yeah, but not CC.
Not CC.
So is that correct?
Yeah, the MSCC had the suggestion of saying for information only, but I do think the wisest thing, and it reminded me what I did in the PUD was always to send things to the manager who could then send them to the other board members, and that's what I'll do in the future. So,
or Shauna, we're okay with on BCC, correct?
Because when you blind copy the rest of the board members, it prevents them from replying all and starting a conversation.
Right.
And that's the best way if you just want to send a newsletter or an article or something like that for information.
What about executive session discussion that's between the board for information one way? Can he BCC with one way?
I would frankly discuss you don't put anything in email that has to do with an executive session.
Okay.
That's risky.
So since they brought up the other statement, may I go ahead and proceed?
If you want to wait until it's down here or do it now, I mean, I'll give you some leeway, Paul. I'd rather do it down here.
I'd like to do it now just because it's what your statement was read, so I'd like to go ahead and put that on the table.
Okay.
Here for just
Sarah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sarah, everybody else.
So this is the statement, which is on the agenda, executive session statement. I'll make it part of the supervisor report instead.
Okay.
Statement of Paul Pickett and Doug Rushton. This is a joint statement that comes from both of us and with the...
Hello.
I'm going to wait until he comes back.
Yeah, okay.
So this is a statement from Paul Pickett and Doug Rushton that we worked on this together. The laws of the state of Washington require that, with few exceptions, the public's business be done in a public way. The legislature has repeatedly confirmed this with statutes such as the Public Disclosure Act, the Public Records Act, and the Open Meetings Act. This is not a new idea. As long as 1914, Judge Louis Brandeis wrote, quote, publicity is justly commended as a remedy for social industrial diseases. Sunlight is said to be the best of disinfectants, end quote. We are concerned that events during the Thurston Conservation District Board of Supervisors special meeting on June 7th, 2018, before, during, and after the executive session, rendered that executive session unlawful. Because we were present and participated in that executive session, our participation may have placed us and the district in legal jeopardy. We believe that the actions of Supervisors Linda Powell, Richard Mankemeyer, and Chair Eric Johnson violated the Open Meetings Act, Chapter 42.31 RCW, specifically RCW 42.31.110, subsections 1F, 1G, and 2. I would just note that this is, I am reading this because I do feel I am in legal jeopardy. The law is clear that the whole board that participates in this is liable.
How was it violated?
Well, let me finish reading that. It's just an aside. We have retained legal counsel, and on the advice of counsel, we are releasing the statement to remedy such unlawful action as we believe occurred. Is our understanding confirmed by counsel that the general remedy in Washington law for doing in the dark which should have been done in the light is to bring it into the light? The following description is as accurate as our memories allow. It should be considered paraphrasing since we can't guarantee what we recall the exact wording. All five supervisors were in attendance at the special meeting of June 7th along with Acting Executive Director AED Sarah Moorhead, staff from other agencies, and members of the public. A sign-in sheet was provided which can provide the names of the attendees. Copies of the agenda were also available for attendees. The agenda called for an executive session that was listed on the agenda, quote, to evaluate the qualifications of an applicant for public employment and to review the performance of a public employee, end quote, which is a proper subject for executive session under RCW 42.31.110.1G. An audio recording of the meeting was made until the executive session began. The recorder failed to operate after the executive session. We have listened to the audio recording of this portion of the meeting, and this is what was said as best as we understand the reporting. When we reached the agenda item for the executive session, AED Sarah Moorhead stated, quote, I have a request to make. If it is to evaluate the performance of a public employee related to me, I'd like to have it in an open public meeting, end quote. This is an entirely appropriate request and must be honored under RCW 42.31.110.1F. Supervisor Johnson announced that the executive session was about to begin to discuss the evaluation of an employee. AED Moorhead asked, quote, is the public employee to be evaluated myself? Supervisor Johnson responded, quote, I don't believe so, no. Supervisor Pickett stated, I thought we were discussing expectations for the executive director. Supervisor Johnson responded, quote, we will not be talking about her, but expectations for the position, correct? Supervisor Pickett then stated, true, if that's all we talk about, that doesn't have to be an executive session, though, end quote. Supervisor Johnson, responding to questions from Linda Powell, noted, quote, we get into more specifics on Sarah than we might come out and go into public session, end quote. AED Moorhead then stated, quote, I believe that this use of executive session is supposed to evaluate specific performance of a specific employee, so talking generally about position expectations, I'm not sure that is a proper use of executive session.
And Paul, did you get this off the recording?
Yes.
And who's the attorney that you're consulting with?
Barnett Calico.
Barnett who?
Barnett Calico. That's his name. Who's the attorney that helped you write your statement?
Mr. Newman.
Sean Newman?
Yeah.
One of our obligations and goals is for the district to operate legally. During the executive session, several events occurred that led us to our need to make this statement. Supervisors Johnson and Mankemeyer discussed a copy of a, quote, plaintiff's reply brief from the case Eric Johnson versus Washington State University WSU Energy Program Office. They quoted the brief with several statements that we interpreted as being critical of AED Moorhead. A copy of this brief is attached. The airing of complaints was inconsistent with the announced purpose of the meeting. In addition, we believe it would have been improper to take any action based on one-sided statements or filings by a lawyer in ongoing litigation, particularly involving a supervisor and an employee, and especially without being presented with opposing filings or hearing the evidence directly. Supervisor Mankemeyer raised some issues in an April 24, 2018 draft letter of direction. On June 4th, Supervisor Mankemeyer had emailed us this letter and told us that he wanted the board to discuss it. The letter outlined several expectations, included several complaints about AED Moorhead's performance. The copy of the letter is attached. This airing of complaints regarding AED Moorhead was also consistent was also inconsistent with the announced purpose of the meeting. We asked several times to return to the topic of reviewing expectation as part of an evaluation process. Supervisor Pickett described the process that he felt was appropriate, first setting expectation, then completing an evaluation to staff, then describing areas of improvement for the staff. He tried to offer a draft list of expectations for discussion, but Supervisors Johnson, Mankemeyer, and Powell ignored him. Supervisor Rushton noted that he had redrafted the position description for executive director position as agreed to at the March 27, 2018 board meeting. He had the AED distributed to the entire board on April 24, 2018, asking for comments from all supervisors but received no response. Supervisor Rushton expressed support for Supervisor Pickett's suggested approach and encouraged the others to follow that process. Both of us made good faith efforts to return the executive session to the announced topic, but we were rebuffed. To us, the executive session seemed mostly to be an extended rant by Supervisors Johnson, Mankemeyer, and Powell about their perceived problems with AED Moorhead's performance in the past and need to remove her from that position and find a consultant to take over as AED. When we came out of the executive session, Supervisor Johnson reported that we had nothing to report and no action to take. In conclusion, we believe the events of this meeting rendered it unlawful due to the following violations of state statute. RCW 42.30.110, Section 1, states that, quote, nothing contained in this chapter shall be construed to prevent a governing body from holding an executive session during a regular or special meeting. So Section F says to receive and evaluate complaints or charges brought against a public officer or employee. However, upon the request of such officer or employee, a public hearing or meeting open to the public shall be conducted upon such complaint or charge. That's the end of the quote from the law. AED Moorhead made a request for an open meeting if we were to discuss a complaint against her. Supervisor Johnson said they were not going to discuss her, but the executive session actually mostly consisted of Supervisor Powell, Mankemeyer, Johnson discussing complaints against AED Moorhead. Subsection G says, quote, to evaluate the qualifications of an applicant for public employment, review the performance of a public employee, end quote. This was the announced purpose of the meeting, but no discussion occurred regarding the evaluation of an employee. RCW 42.30.10.2 states that, quote, before convening in executive sessions, the presiding officer of governing body shall publicly announce the purpose for excluding the public from the meeting place, end quote. Considering what actually took place in the meeting, Supervisor Johnson, as chair, provided false description of the purpose, and he and the other two supervisors deviated from the announced purpose in a manner that he explicitly stated it would not take place. Because of the events in this meeting, we are taking actions consistent with our duty under Chapter 4230 RCW regarding what appears to have been a violation of this statute. Supervisor Pickett contacted the Attorney General's office, who advised him to consult the district's counsel. Unfortunately, the district has no counsel, who might have stopped the violations described here. We'll be sending a copy of the statement to the state auditor and the Washington Conservation Commission. We take the confidentiality of executive session seriously, but also take transparency of government operations and what we tell the public seriously. Therefore, because the meeting appears to have violated the law, pointing out and stopping that illegality supersedes executive session confidentiality. Signed, Paul Pickett and Doug Rushton, supervisors. And that's my statement for the record. I will just say that it's not pleasant to do this. I feel because I am at legal liability, it has to be done. I consulted counsel who advised me to make this statement. I will continue to work with this board as best I can and for the best purposes of this organization.
Thank you, Paul. April 24th, regular meeting and work session minutes. Any motions for approval as amended?
Make a motion to approve April 24th, 2018 minutes as amended.
Second.
Sure, second. And this was amended in the work session.
Correct.
This is the version that we revised in the work session.
Right.
Actually, I withdraw my second. I wasn't at this meeting.
Yeah,
I'm not going to
second. You weren't on that position.
I wasn't on the board, so yeah. I'm going to withdraw my second.
You want a second, Richard?
Yeah, I'll second.
Okay, so for the record, Richard will go ahead and second it. We have the meeting minutes as amended, correct?
Yep.
Okay. Any more discussion?
No.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Okay, so three ayes and one abstention. Session minutes. Okay. Any discussion on them? Would you like to put a motion on this one, Paul?
Sure, I move to adopt the version that came out of our work session earlier today. As amended from the one distributed.
Did we have the track change?
No, this is May 29th.
Yeah. We haven't got it.
Did you have...
A second.
Okay. Did we finish discussion of that?
I mean, yeah.
We did.
Okay, because we had to stop.
Yeah, we did go through some of that.
Okay, yeah, I mean, all my comments were yours.
Okay. Any comments? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So unanimous on that. And June 7th, so you had a bunch of changes for June 7th?
Yeah, I distributed through Sarah, not directly, some revisions to this. I just looked at my notes, and so you have a marked up copy with things from my notes. And again, this is my recollection, so consulting training. I revised those bullets to say hire and train staff to build capacity for the future, which I think was that intended at. And training and technical assistance for ongoing practices such as the Governance Action Plan, Resolving Human Rights Commission Complaints, and FMLA, which I had in my notes as things we talked about. Review policies and procedures for consistency and legality. Conflict resolution I had in my notes.
And that staff that went to a conflict resolution training.
Yeah, so this is what I had from my notes. And if you guys recollect things differently, I'm certainly open to revisions.
Well, I would put the conflict resolution training in there because that was staff went to that. Doesn't necessarily have to.
Yeah, that one I wasn't sure about what that was. So scratch conflict resolution. That's okay.
Let me get some feedback here. So line 63 through 68. You guys okay with how he wants to change it or leave it or more discussion?
That's fine. We talked about a lot of different qualifications for HR people. There was, I don't remember which meeting it was that you handed out the level 2 and level 3 for HR. Was that this meeting or the other one?
That was the subcommittee meeting.
And this is the special meeting. So, yeah. Sure. It's fine.
How about you, Richard?
Okay. Everybody okay with that?
We're waiting on Richard. Basically, line 64 to 71, Richard.
On the marked up version.
And on the marked up version, take out conflict resolution. Okay. And then line 80, Paul, you have current premium and the amount of increase.
Yeah, that just to clarify what was listed there.
But we didn't get the current premium exactly.
With items to discuss if we were on. This is, we said, we approved to have a conversation with Cyril Brandt, and this is what we wanted to talk about.
Okay.
And I think we didn't know. We wanted to know what was the current premium and the amount of the increase to explain the copay. It just said the copay. I just thought.
Okay.
And then what can we do to avoid the increase or bring rates back down? So I just tried to clarify those 3 points a little.
Yeah, sure. That's fine.
And then lastly, on 91, 92, on the marked up version, I just thought we should explain why we removed that.
Yeah, I'd like to say that, be a little more solid on that and say that, no one heard that statement being made.
No one heard it being
made?
Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm.
Talk about it. they put this in.
This is specifically about the executive session that we just heard a lot of stuff about, right?
No, this is what this is this is meeting minutes for the special board meeting. And when we were in the special board meeting, we saw a preliminary copy of the meeting minutes. Richard saw in there that staff had put in that removing Sarah Mora had based on an HR complaint. None of the board said that or heard that.
We actually talked about that.
Right, and that's what it's, that's why.
We're just noting that we talked about it and took it out because no one heard that said.
I would think, I'm surprised it's in here, but you could remove, I don't know. Go ahead.
Didn't I hear you say that the recorder didn't work after that executive session?
No, the...
That
would be for the meeting prior?
Yeah, this, none of this was recorded. So we just have to rely on our...
Well, we never said, that was never said. Even Tony in the audience said it was never said.
No, I was surprised to see it there.
Yeah.
So this is a little tricky because... actually, Paul made the statement after the executive session that, where did it go? Without talking about what we were talking about in the executive session, which is confidential after you just talked about it extensively, no one made any comment or statement to any effect of removing Sarah from anything based on anything during that meeting. And so Paul made the statement after the executive session to that effect that that no one recalled making any statement to that effect, and please strike it from the minutes.
And that's what
this is supposed to be reflecting.
Right, yeah.
We saw it in the minutes.
That whole issue was cleared up later after the meeting. With me and Sarah, I think I felt like we cleared it up.
Can you share?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I had made the comment during that meeting about, forget the context, but hiring a manager that Sarah could then train. Sarah construed that to mean removing her. Mm-hmm. And so she had that in her notes, which Heather then compiled into the main minutes. And then somehow or another that got
so
further twisted around, which was then nobody recalled making any statement about removing Sarah because nobody actually did. I understand why Sarah might have construed it that way. Anyway, that got cleared up, I think. Is that cleared up?
Right.
She's not going to
thanks,
comment
that's
because,
helpful. Yeah, okay. I was wondering how it got in there.
Yeah,
that is
after Sarah talked, then I recognized where it came from, and I recognized that I was the source of those words, but that this intent of somebody being removed was certainly.
Well, do you want to be more specific and just say that statement was not made, just period?
That, yeah, something to that effect. Or
I mean, just because this...
You can take that out totally or no?
Well, I just think maybe it's worth mentioning just because it's the kind of statement in the draft minutes that would get people excited. And if it was never said, we should make
it
clear that it was never said.
Everybody excited because nobody should have seen the draft minutes except for us.
Oh, is that true?
That's true.
Are draft minutes public record or no?
No, they're not because they haven't been approved yet.
When we asked Sarah if those draft minutes had went out to anybody, and she told us that they had only went out to the board.
Okay.
Right, Sarah?
If that's true, then we don't need to put this in the minutes.
Correct.
Okay, so then... Do you want to just strike D?
Just, well, to be reviewed during June 26 board minute, and then scratch everything after that.
Okay.
Because it's
well,
not in the
you don't even need D.
Don't even need D at all. There's nothing to review.
Well, we have C and D where we just, it was on the agenda and we just didn't get to them. So you could just combine them and say.
No, it wasn't on the agenda.
Did we?
No, we pulled that forward. We hadn't even had it yet, just draft form on the internet. We didn't even have them in the meeting. So would it be appropriate?
Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
So would it be appropriate just to drop D?
If D wasn't on the agenda,
it
then
wasn't.
Just drop it. Yeah.
Was it, Sarah? It wasn't on the agenda, was it?
We had minutes review on the agenda, but not May
29th.
No, you're right. So,
let's just drop D in total.
I'd say, yeah, I think it's fine. It's resolved. It doesn't need to be in the record because we just adopted the minutes that didn't have it in it. So it's taken care of.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Nope. Anything else, Paul?
That's what I gave you.
Okay. Anything else, Richard? Good. Motion to approve. Somebody wants to make it.
Make a motion to approve June 7th special meeting minutes as amended.
There you go. Second?
Second.
Richard seconds. Any more discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. So,
February
27th, old ones.
Pass this and we can get a red dot off our thingy.
Well, we're headed that
direction. We didn't approve these because
they were just a
work session.
They're not
on the list.
Work
session minutes.
No, right. Those are
notes.
June, no, that'll be for next month. How come you have the June just because Paul made comments on them? Is that why?
June 19th work session.
That's just the subcommittee notes,
right.
That we just brought up for our discussion on 5. That does not require formal approval.
Okay.
So that was a work session, and there won't be formal minutes.
It was a subcommittee meeting where the subcommittee took notes of the meeting.
Was taken.
Correct.
So it never became a meeting.
Actually,
it was a.
Didn't you publicize that as a public meeting?
Yeah, right? So you have to have meeting minutes or no minutes on it if determined by the board.
Which listed that there was a notice of a quorum of supervisors could be present at the public meeting.
Did you guys have a quorum?
Yes.
There was a quorum, or three of you.
Yep.
So you probably should have some kind of minutes for the record.
Okay, we'll just bring those
That's
up
right.
when Doug's here.
Yeah.
So
yes, the people are there should vote on it.
Put those on your agenda for that. Okay, on the February. I looked at the February notes, only on line 73, I just had a question of whether that's happened or not. It doesn't really pertain to the content of the minutes, but board decision for acting executive director to electronically share PDRs with board as submitted, AED, and auditor will generate monthly summary reports on PDRs, including tracking numbers, dates received, who requested, date fulfilled, outcomes, etc. Can we make sure that happens?
Yeah,
I haven't seen that as of yet. So we're needing a monthly everything after that.
So something that we discussed at the March meeting was an assessment and prioritization by the board of staff workload,
mm-hmm.
noting that we're down significantly in capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Staff is having a challenging time.
So did we change our minds on this?
I mean, that's up to the board to give further direction. It was something that I shared would take time for us to prepare to provide.
Okay, let's put that on the agenda for next month for discussion, for clarification.
Thank you.
Just catching up with the air.
Yeah. Okay. And then just on this November 1st, 2017, line 160, Eric asked who authorized payment, was told he would have to get back to him. I haven't got an answer on that yet. So if you want to put that as an agenda item and get back to me on it. Who authorized payment for that?
For?
You'll have to go back and revisit what was said on that line 160, and that was line 360 on the November 1st meeting minutes. So this isn't really content of the meeting minutes, but it's stuff that should have come out of this meeting. So if you can just get back to me on line 160, which was in addition to line 360 for November 1st. Eric asked for who authorized payment and was told he would have to get back to him. I still haven't got an answer for that yet from November. So As far as the meeting minutes I went through, I didn't really see anything else. Did you have a chance to hammer all through them? You wouldn't have full knowledge of the...
I wasn't at this meeting, I can't help.
Right. Do you want to wait for Doug, or do you want to...
He has any comments.
Does Doug have any comments on this?
So this is the second draft of this that was prepared. It was discussed, I believe, at the March meeting.
Okay.
And a significant amount of provisions were provided from the board. And so that's why this set of minutes is showing up later in our calendar here for approval, is that this is the second draft incorporating those changes that were initially made.
So we didn't vote to approve as amended at that time?
Yep.
I'd say I'm okay to approve.
Yep.
Moving the motion on the second, I will vote with Doug.
Well, he was involved in that discussion, so.
Okay, do you want to do a motion and see if Richard seconds it?
Make a motion to approve the monthly meeting minutes for Tuesday, February 22nd, 2018, as amended.
Okay, get a first and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All abstentions?
Abstain.
Okay, 3 approvals and 1 abstention. Okay. Monthly financial reports. Under tab 4.
Copy of the monthly financial reports that you see routinely each month was included in your packet. Something that I reached out to Richard about, or Richard requested, was some additional discussion on these reports. If this level of information or the way this is displayed is or is not providing the information type that you would like, please let us know and provide feedback. I'd love to work with Richard or through Richard on the board to do that, to gather input from other supervisors on and direction on the financial report there. Otherwise, were there any questions there?
I have a question, Sarah.
Sure.
On page 79 on the my printout of the screen, it's the region's invoice statement. You have the class description, all employees.
The one for $51.62.99? It's a bill?
Yes. Well, no, it's just a total.
Total column? Okay. Yeah. So that would be the next page then. It would look like this.
Looks like this.
What yeah. Says regions?
Yeah, it says page 1.
Is it appropriate to put employee birth dates on it?
I don't think you should.
Yeah, I don't think that should happen either.
There was a public disclosure request for state workers to get birthdays, and it was withheld. And I think it was upheld by the courts. Joe's nodding.
And you fought hard on that.
Yeah.
So you might want to buy Susan.
Expurgate the date, birth dates.
Thank you for catching that.
Before this goes in the public record.
The Washington Energy Program IT support, I know that we have PDAs on that, and so that's pertaining to, correct?
Where, which PDA?
On the Thurston Conservation District check register,
okay.
April 10th. Check number 19625, Washington State Energy Program. That's just for our monthly, or that's for?
Um, I would need to look at the check detail, but yeah, they do a monthly billing that provides routine IT support and, you know, error resolution, as well as public disclosure requests.
Comcast is for our phone and office internet. Do we get a rebate from when we were down?
Not that I've seen.
Not that you've seen. Colonial supplement insurance, that's for life insurance premiums for the staff. Mm-hmm. Any questions by anybody else? Lambert Voice Communications, H rates and charges hearing advertising, that's pretty clear.
Just, if you'll forgive me for clarification, just
go for it, Paul.
So I see a check register dated April 10th. It was signed, and there's one May 24th. It hasn't been signed. So how often are these generated?
Twice a month.
Twice a month?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so like the 10th and 24th would be kind of typical.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Looks like state payday. So then there should be another one for, you have the beginning of April and the end of May. Are they just out of order, or did you not do every one?
Let me see here. Let me ask and see if this is a compilation of all of May.
That's what I was just thinking, maybe just
yeah.
Everything up to that date, when you did the poll, that's what you got, and then everything after April 10th, it's on the May 24th.
That would be true according to the numbers.
Oh, are they in sequential? Oh, yeah, they are. Okay, thanks.
So on...
Yep.
Trying to understand these things.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. On May, check register, check number 19632, there's a staff person, $33. I've asked a bunch of times to have that, whether that's meals or mileage, so can you get back to us on whether that's meals or mileage?
That's neither.
Okay.
I remember that expense was for some supplies that a staff member needed in the field and purchased them out of their own pocket and was reimbursed.
Okay, that's good. Salish Sea Conference, COWWU. Extended EV, what was that?
Yeah, that was, we had a couple of staff members that went as part of their grant programs to the Salish Sea Conference, and that is a registration fee.
Okay.
If you'll look at the next check register for June, titled June 14th, Eric, on the next page. This is a new format that Susan put together based on the supervisor request for more detail associated with these.
Person conservation is your check detail June 14th, 2018?
Yeah, so rather than the prior style of signature sheet for approving the checks, this is the style with just a little bit of additional information. We're welcome to feedback on this new style.
Well, where did the employee go with check number 19648, 531-2018?
That was a DC
trip.
Yep. Again, this year?
Yeah, it's an annual event called Puget Sound on the Hill Day.
Oh, I'm sorry, was the event?
Puget Sound on the Hill Day.
Oh.
It's an annual...
fly-in type thing.
Mm-hmm, fly-in in D.C. for salmon recovery.
Would it be too complicated? What would help me a lot is if I knew, with all the different grants and all the different sources of funding, which ones that each one of these expenses was taken out of?
So that's what additional information is prepared in this report. So if you look at that expense in particular that we are discussing, 19648, you'll see the expense there, and then you'll see where it says RCO, lead entity.
Okay.
Green is the green money and so forth.
Yeah, so that would be South Sound Green Program, and then there's two separate grants. We're looking at item 19649. You'll see that it's South Sound Green Program, and then there's two separate grants included there.
I'd just like to make a friendly suggestion and just something to think about. Something that would save time in meetings. This kinds of information, in my experience, goes on a consent calendar. And so, to save time in meetings, it could go on the consent calendar. Everybody would get to see it and call Sarah and ask questions so that in the meeting we can, if you don't like it on the consent calendar, it can be pulled off the consent calendar. I don't know. There may be certain things we have obligations to do in an open meeting, but consent calendars is a perfectly acceptable way to approve things that really don't need debate. So I'm just going to put that as a suggestion to think about.
What is a consent calendar? New calendar that's generated?
A consent calendar is a way to say everything listed in this consent calendar are things we will pass as a block of stuff. So there's just routine stuff that doesn't need discussion, and when you pass the consent calendar, you're passing everything on it. And this local governments do it all the time, and PD did it all the time. So it just, if there are things that don't really need discussion, you put it on the consent calendar. If someone has a concern, they can say, I want to take it off the consent calendar and make it a standalone item and talk about it.
We could try that. It took me 2.5 years to get that calendar for the district. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's called a consent calendar, but it's really kind of a block approval of things that aren't going to be debated.
Wouldn't that come out of a work session where things had been discussed? And
you could do that, too. Yeah. I mean, you could just say... a lot of times the minutes would go, although usually the minutes, there may be some comments people want to make it in the public meeting, but if you did a work session and everybody agreed on the minutes, you could put it on the consent calendar.
Well, that's what I've been talking about for several meetings now, and we did actually have a work session
that
switched to a special session that...
So we could talk about
it. It didn't, we didn't get much, we got things done. Right.
And when you get a draft agenda, it'll say these things are on the consent calendar, and if there's something you go like, no, this needs to be standalone, you let Sarah or Eric know and say, take this off the consent calendar because I want it. There's something that needs to be discussed about it.
Well, but the main thing would be to just have a regularly scheduled work session where all these kind of things were on it that we passed on to the consent, you call it a calendar.
It's called a consent calendar. You call it something else if you want. I mean, that's
consent agenda is how the commissioners do it.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking more like if you discuss something in a work session and everybody, there really wasn't anything else to say, you could put it on the next consent calendar.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you could actually have something on the consent calendar and say, to be discussed in work session, if people come to the work session and hear the discussion. But
right.
If there's really no, minutes are a good example of that because it's all kind of. If we decide to agree on the wording in the work session, then there isn't a need to debate it.
We just need to have a regularly scheduled work session.
Okay.
Yeah, it should be more than an hour if we have a.
Shauna, do other CDs do that? They have consent calendars? Is that what they call it?
I've seen consent calendar and consent agenda both used.
I'm sorry?
I've seen both. Both terms used, calendar and agenda.
Consent agenda?
Mm-hmm.
Or consent calendar? Yeah.
Yep.
It's the same idea. It's just a block of things that are approved as a bulk approval.
Yes.
And things you don't have to spend time in the meeting to do. So I'm just thinking to save time in the meeting, just think about things. If you ask your questions outside the meeting, we can put it on the consent calendar and just save time. This kind of detail seems like something we can do outside the meeting.
Well, it's the work session. Do other CDs work sessions regularly?
Yeah.
To do that sort of thing?
Yep.
Does that sound like what she's saying? Maybe have a work session and then put things on a consent calendar? That's okay? Okay.
Absolutely.
So I'll make a motion that we have a work session scheduled every month, the week prior to, or should we do it mid-month? mid-month to handle this sort of routine business so that we can have a consent agenda to just approve during the regular meeting.
Make your meeting shorter, probably.
So I make a motion that we do that.
I'll second it, but I have some concerns. I'm thinking about it. I think we need to pick a time that everybody can make it. I would love to see it in the evening, because daytime, I have a daytime job, and this is very difficult. So an evening work session, and I don't know whether the staff may have some ideas about timing.
Staff likes it during the day, because there's no...
Just come in late and stay late.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a concern, but thank you. I would just offer a comment that we would certainly want to look at the timing and schedule of some of these processes to, and it might take some adjustment to align that with a new work session process.
I was thinking with the agenda, it would be better mid-month, because then there's time to do the agenda afterwards.
Sure.
So could maybe we could let our acting executive director poll everybody for dates. I would love to see it made a permanent thing, like just say permanent, every third Thursday or something.
It would have to be like the...
So maybe
Tuesday's good for... I mean, this is a Tuesday. 2 weeks prior would be a Tuesday. Afternoons works best for me.
Okay.
Yeah, or if it's later in the afternoon.
Is that friendly amendments or just generalization?
Maybe we can all eat at a pizza parlor for our work sessions.
Generalization, and then we'll...
But I just think maybe that Sarah can just get poll us for dates. Also, talk to staff about the timing for a work session to be close to the meeting, but not so close that you can't do agendas and stuff. And then maybe throw a bunch of possible dates up, try and... I mean, the intent of your motion is this would be a regular thing from now on?
A regular thing where we took care of this kind of mundane business.
You know, if that meant we didn't have to meet at 1 o'clock on the meeting, that would be nice, too.
Later in the afternoon's fine.
We'll have our regular, so I'm saying, like, when we have our regular meetings, we just meet at 2 a.m. our meeting.
Right.
And we're replacing it with a work session earlier in the month that we could do a little later in the afternoon, maybe, or in the evening.
Evening, no.
Evenings are harder for you.
Later in the afternoon would be fine.
3 to 5 or something like that.
Sure.
Okay.
I think that's all clarification of the motion.
Any more discussion? What do you got the motion down now, Sarah?
Heather, do you have that?
Let's see.
Simple is okay.
Linda moved to have work session scheduled mid-month to handle routine matters and place them on consent calendar.
So. Yeah, and I think the rest is just process to implement it.
Okay. I captured additional detail.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Okay, it looks like it's unanimous. Okay, back to the check register.
I don't think there was.
Check number...
Just for one clarification on that motion, can... We would say the concept to actually pick the date and start, because then when you do a regular meeting, you advertise it as a regular meeting, so you only have to do it once. You have to say, from now on, this date, we'll have a regular work session. So is that something we can decide outside the meeting, the actual date that it's going to happen?
I think we can do it on a doodle poll.
Now that we've said we want to do it, Can you poll members to pick the date?
2 weeks prior, so like...
That's not a decision outside the meeting. We made the decision to have the meeting, but the decision about what day it's going to be, and...
So what I can do is I can take a poll, and I can provide her with the best possible date in that poll, and then it will be up to Eric as the chair to call the meeting.
Okay.
So with Doug not here, maybe we should try to pick something that works for everybody, do it once... And then when everybody's here, decide on a date that's permanent.
Okay.
I mean, that just would be a way to have Doug be included, just in case we try it once and go, that didn't quite work, it was a different date. So.
Who seconded that motion?
Paul did.
Paul.
Second, yes.
And just to to confirm the intent is to get this scheduled in the month of July to trial it with some discussion later in July about setting a permanent date. Does that sound good?
Yeah. Sure. We'll try it in July, and then at the July meeting, we'll decide if we're going to make it permanent. I think you just said that. I'm just saying it again.
I think that sounds great.
I do that. Sorry.
No, I appreciate it.
I think I heard what you think you heard me say.
Okay, back to the check register. Check number 19600, Steve Davis, 1620. Was that for quarterlies or something? Or what was that for? It was on 4/20/2018.
Oh, you're in the April?
Evidently.
That is.
Is that a check you just haven't cleared? Oh, it just cleared. That's what was there. And it just cleared?
Yeah, that was one that was outstanding for a while.
Okay. It was. You must have a cash.
Oh,
okay. Had it as well up for ever. Okay, and then looks like she provided this with Wells Fargo. MSRC, $135. McConey's, that must be McConey Subs. We must have had some kind of event. $126.
Yeah, I can look into that.
Just give us a detail of that event that was paid to you. I think the Cabela's, that was that same rain gear.
Just a moment, I'm catching back up to the report that you're looking at.
Okay. Sarah's looking at some. You want to just get back to us on that, Sarah?
Yeah.
So just get back to us on 4/26/2018, item number 3845. I think you've already clarified the Cabela's one, but just double check. 4/26/2018. All the same day.
Sure.
Go-to meetings, what are those?
It's a platform for us to do webinars and WebExes.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions besides me? Richard, do you have any questions? The office supplies at Cranes look like. First student chapter, what's that?
Which number are you talking about?
511, credit card charge, first student charter.
That is buses for substitutes for South Sound Green.
Okay. Do you have any more questions, Paul?
I have a zillion questions, but I'm going to work with Sarah directly to figure out what's going on. I did ask her about a few checks when we met earlier for orientation. So.
Did you want to, should we go ahead and pass it, or do you want to wait?
That's fine. I don't have anything to.
Okay, you want to do a motion to pass it then?
Sure, I'd move. What are we passing? The approval of the check registers?
Correct.
That are in our packet?
Check number, that check number totaling, and with these were the checks.
Oh, this is on the job training.
Yeah, so you say.
I would like to move we approve the checks.
Check register.
Check register as of 6/20/2018, beginning with check 19602 through 19642, totaling $104,171.78 American, U.S. American dollars, I assume.
With voided checks.
And voided checks, 19604, 19626, and 19638. This is how it starts.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right, first and a second. Any other questions? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. I get desensitized, so
okay,
I think
so
this is normal.
Okay, so approved unanimously.
But this is what we talked about with the work session. Presumably this would go to the work session and the minutes would go to the work sessions and could end up on a consent calendar. Just as a side.
Okay, dude.
Could we take a short break?
Sure. 10 minutes?
Seems like a good time for it.
Okay. Sure, 10 minutes. Okay, it is 3:54. Let's come back at 5 after 4. Sound good?
What is the WACD under the financial report? Did Doug have financial?
That was a typo. That should have been taken off.
So when we come back, we'll talk about the DOH grant?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was emailed out separately last
right.
week.
So I left. Lots of paper. Paid by the pound.